To the blood of Jesus Christ right now. We confess our sins, Lord. We confess our wrongdoings. We put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so we thank you, Lord. We stand here redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So we've got everything to look forward to. We've got everything to look forward to, Lord, in you. Thank you, Jesus, that we walk, Lord, in victory. We walk with the joy of the Lord as our strength. So we thank you for this last Sunday, Lord. It's so good. So good to be alive in Jesus. So good to be alive in you, to be able to stand in church and praise you in these songs. So God, as we look to your word now, Lord, strengthen us on this last Sunday. Strengthen us. Maybe somebody here needs something, Lord. They're hoping on this last Sunday, Lord, for something somehow to break through in their lives. And you are the God of breakthroughs. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that when that dam clogs up in our heart, Lord, you can unclog and you can break the dam. You can break it, Lord, spiritually speaking, Lord, and you can let the flow of the Spirit happen. So I'm praying that this morning, Lord, through your word, let something happen, Lord. We thank you, God, for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. I was looking up here at the worship team and just thanking the Lord that now they're going to sit down and we're going to fill the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, Merry Christmas to you who weren't here last Sunday. For those who aren't here this Sunday, we'll have to wish them a Happy New Year next year. But good to have like the swap now happening and those who have gone and now you are back and the other ones have left. But good to have you here today on this last Sunday. Happy New Year. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. So thank the Lord. Wow, Betty and I spent a terrible, rough day on the highway yesterday. We left Burlington at 9:30 in the morning. We got here shortly after 5 o'clock. All those hours in the road, cars in the ditches, ice buildup, plows on the road, and I guess people traveling home after being at Christmas, the clogging of the highway. And I tell you, you often hear those terms, white knuckle, when you're holding on to the steering wheel. I was basically like that. And I felt like when I got home and pulled into our driveway, like getting down, even though it was cold and minus 20-something, I didn't want my lips to stick on the pavement. But I felt like getting out and kissing the ground there for making it home safely and just look up and say, thank you, Jesus, you got us home. Hallelujah. And I'm sure that many of you have been in that place too. And I was looking at all the tractor trailers. I know we've got truck drivers here in our congregation, and just thanking God that you can make it through in all those times that when you're out on the highway and all the crazies. You know, there's crazy people out there that think it's summer, and they drive like it's summer, and those are the ones you have to watch out for. They're usually the ones you find up the road in the ditch somewhere, but I'm grateful for being safe, and good to have you here this morning. I don't know what you've been through over the last few days, but I trust that you had a good time with your families. And we spent a real great time with my family. It's good to have my two brothers and my sister together. We took a picture of all of us. Baby on the end, that's me, and then worked our ways to my oldest brother and have a picture of us. And it was so good to be together with my brother Les and share with my brother Les, talk to him, encourage him in the things of the Lord. And I said, Les, you know, Jesus loves you so very much, and he's walking with you. And he says, yes, I feel him with me every day. He's like he's standing right beside me, carrying me and strengthening me. It was so good to see my brother Les. Wow, what a change. That's what Jesus does in our lives, though. He changes us inside out. And thank God, you're here in your remarkable change because remember your old life, and now that you're a new creation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Happy New Year. Amen. Hope you come back tonight as we celebrate together. So would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12 we're going to read. And I just want to conclude as we're still in the season of Christmas. Is that okay? If I continue along a little bit with Christmas in it, nobody will get upset with me this morning, will you? Still in Christmas. You probably still have your Christmas lights up. Probably still have Christmas trees around and decorations. You're probably not going to take them down until this week sometime. So I figure that we're still in the Christmas season, so let's enjoy it while we're there. Matthew chapter 2, are you there? Beginning at verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'For you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Father, thank you for your word. Strengthen our lives with it as we now are in the season of Christmas and rejoicing. And we're still there, and we rejoice in Christ our Savior, who is born to this world to save us from our sins. And we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we are. You've eaten probably lots of turkey. You've celebrated lots. You've seen family, friends. You've done things. Maybe you've gone to Boxing Day sales. I don't know if you're a Boxing Day person. I don't know. It's crazy, the lineups out there and everything that's going on the web pages and so forth. I don't know if you're that kind of a person, but you know, it's basically coming to an end. I always get a kick out of people who put up Boxing Day sales in July, or they say Boxing Day sale in January into February or something. I mean, I always thought it was a Boxing Day sale, but they don't seem to get the idea. But here we are, we're kind of slowing down, or after our celebrations in celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that we hold each year on December 25th. So as I look at this Sunday, what should I preach on this Sunday after December 25th? And I went to those words, and I felt those words were right there for me in verse 1 of chapter 2. And it says that now after Jesus was born. So here we are. After Jesus was born. Is that okay if I speak about after Jesus being born this morning? I think it's kind of cool. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There, I got one of those afters with the everything flowing up there. Add you a little bit of color for it this morning, after. Everybody know what after means, right? After is you did something and it's now after. You know, it's like there's a line of sequence of things, but one comes after the other. And so if you were to count from 1 to 10, 2 would come after, and 7 would come before. Gotcha! 7 would come before, and 9 is after. There you go. Now you're trying to throw me off. You know, as you look at this setting of the text of chapter 2, now after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Judea, it's you look at this and you find some interesting things. You know, if you were to go back to chapter 1 of Matthew, find the first chapter of Matthew, promises the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second chapter of Matthew presents to us the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have him. He's come and born, and it's now after he's born. And as Matthew goes through some of these interesting things, he shows us the purpose of the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the purpose of each gospel is present to us the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can get to know him. After all, He is the Savior of the world. He's a pretty good guy to get to know, the Savior of the world. Amen? So basically, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, they're taking each one in their struggles of trying to write down, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they're trying to connect all the dots for you and I to understand that even though the birth of Jesus was very important, we celebrated that on Monday, December 25th, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but everything that comes after his birth is very, very important. This is the important part. I mean, nice to have a baby in the world. I love seeing babies. But you know what? When you see a little baby, every mom and dad says, I wonder what they will be. They have the understanding that maybe they'll be, you know, pastors often say to their children, you think that pastors will say to their sons, I want you to grow up and be a pastor? No, don't ever be a pastor. That's what pastors say to their kids. Did you know that? They say that. I always tell my kids, make sure if you're going to follow. Sometimes kids will follow after their dad in pursuit of what they have as their work. But I always told the kids, if you're going to be a pastor, you better make sure you hear a voice calling from heaven towards you and going into the ministry. This is not happening. Because when I was in Bible college, there was a fellow sitting in one of our classes. And often in Bible college, just before the class started, one of the professors would say, hey, let's hear a testimony today from one of our students. And so he'd pick out somebody just to share a brief part of their testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was amazed because this one fellow said, I don't have a testimony. And the professor said, well, what are you doing here at Bible college? Well, my grandfather was a pastor. My dad was a pastor. And so I guess that was a logical thing for me to do, is be a pastor. You know, and so you have to understand, it's not just following after your father in succession of line. It's hearing from our Heavenly Father to be that. And so I always told our kids, and so only one of our kids fell into that place. Josh is not a pastor, but our oldest son, Jeremy, is. Now, Betty and I often, when we go down to see them in Burlington, we've been here 9 years this month. And we're enjoying every part of it. But never praise God, thank you, Jesus, yes, hallelujah. But never once have you seen our oldest son, isn't that right? I think you saw him, met him one time. We brought him into the church. He was down here during the week. I don't know you, Linda, we introduced him to you. Just in case you probably all think, I don't think the pastor really has a son who's a pastor. You know, he is. There is a son who's a pastor. He's living down in Burlington. He has a wife named Holly. They have three children. We can show you pictures of them, and they're in the ministry. Now, to try to get him down here for a Sunday is very difficult because he is a pastor as well. Often people say, well, that's the only day you work during the week, isn't it, Pastor? You know, so I guess that's the only day that he works, and it's very hard to get him down here. And whenever he gets holidays, he says, we're going up to the lake, or we're going to Florida, or they're doing something as a family. And I say to him, why don't you go to that mean senior pastor of yours and ask if you can have a Sunday off? And he said, well, I've already had three Sundays off preaching at youth events or these events and so forth. So to get him down here is very difficult. And every time I meet him, I say, will this be the year? Because our church really wonders if you're alive. You know, so maybe this year we'll have our son. Pray to that end in 2018 that our oldest son, Jeremy, will be down here with his family and you'll get to meet them on a Sunday. So I pray that happens. Hallelujah. Why did I say that? I don't know. It wasn't even part of my message. But anyway, after. Everything happens after of all these sequence events. When you look at all the events here in these first 12 verses, I mean, it's all laid out for us, and we have this understanding. Every bit of information is important to us in the Bible. Did you know that? Every bit of information is very important to us as we read through it. It's not just something to lightly look at and something to put you to sleep at night. It's something that you need to study and read and digest and go through. And so as I go through some of these facts, I just want to give you, lay out some of the facts here in these first 12 verses to make you understand this is what God wanted to put here for us. How'd that get up there? Did I push a button? Did you do that, Wendy? Ah, I wanted that thing. Don't touch it, Wendy. So let me give you some of the information as we go through. Because number one, Herod was king in Jerusalem at this time. That's laid out for us. It's a documented fact. You would find it documented by even secular theologians that he was the king at this time in Jerusalem. Number two, wise men or magi or as Dennis the Menace. Anybody ever know Dennis the Menace? I used to always read him. He was kind of cool, little guy with his dog Ruff. And he loved peanut butter. I love peanut butter, so I like Dennis the Menace. But Dennis the Menace always called these guys the wise guys of the Bible. But they're wise men. Number three, wise men, they were properly went to the leader. Like if you were going to a different country, you would go to the magistrate or somebody of that country to seek out any information about that place. It's kind of like when you go down the highway, you look for those information offices to go in there and find out where the streets are or the events you want to see. It's kind of like that. So it's only proper that when you go into a different land, a different area, that you go to see the person in charge to find out that if they found you were there and you were just kind of traipsing around through his country, there might be some serious repercussions. But here the wise men went to the king and asked the question to the king of where the king of the Jews would be born. Okay, that's information that we're given here. They want to know where Jesus would be born. Number four, this fact, Herod did not know where Jesus would be born. That's given to us. And in fact, it even tells us that he was troubled that there would be another king somewhere around in his area. And so we are also told that he was consulting with the Jewish leaders. I mean, if you want to find out about a king and it's religious, you go to some religious leaders. And so that's what he did. He consulted with the Jewish leaders where this king would be born. Well, they gave him Old Testament prophecy from Micah chapter 5, verse 2, as we read there, that he would be born in Bethlehem. Herod also secretly asked the wise men to go to Bethlehem, find this baby who's born as the king, go to this place, and tell me where he has been born so that I also may come and worship him, says King Herod. I don't think he wanted to worship him. But the wise men, they picked back up on their journey. They got back outside and they saw the star and they started following the star again to Bethlehem to where the baby was. Another fact is when they saw the star, they rejoiced greatly. But when they saw the baby Jesus, they fell down and worshiped. Get that? They saw a star and rejoiced greatly that they could follow that star. But when they saw the baby Jesus, they fell down and worshiped, and they presented their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. How many wise men were there? Everybody always says three, don't they? We do not know. Did you read in here? It does not say how many wise men they were, okay? Just in case. I mean, every picture, I even have a tie with three wise men on it. Everybody always puts that together and puts it so that we think that, you know. And the reason why they say three is because of the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. Did you know that one guy could carry all those gifts in one backpack? It's true. But anyway, there you have it. Of all the 12 verses, the reviewing of the facts. And again, consider some of these things after these 12 verses that after Jesus was born. Now we'll go to that slide because that was so pretty for you to watch. Now, after Jesus was born, there's some interesting things that initially have happened but happened continually. And we're the recipients of some of the blessings, many of the blessings, all the blessings that Jesus gives us because he was born, after Jesus was born. You know, I often look back at hindsight and try to look at some of the things that go on in our life. And after I gave my heart to Jesus, I realized that I came to a place that God was working on over several weeks, if not months, if not years, into my life. Have you ever looked back in hindsight and realized that the Holy Spirit was doing some major things in your life to bring you to where you are right now, and you are the recipient of God's blessings? You are so blessed today, knowing salvation, knowing Jesus, walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you are blessed. But if you were to look back and look at some of the things that were triggered off in your life that caused you to think about Jesus, got you to church, got you to know somebody who was a Christian, got you to this place, got to that place, that God was orchestrating all these things out by the Holy Spirit and bringing you to a place where you would come to know Jesus Christ. Hopefully you would know that. In fact, if we were to look back at many of the circumstances in our life and looking back in 2017, if not all of them, we can look back and see the hand of God in our lives. Can you see that? As you look back, the hand of God is strong upon our lives. Sometimes, you know, when we go through all those troubled waters, where's God? Like when I'm hurting, where's God and all this? All of a sudden, you look back many months after the trouble that you went through, and you can see the hand of God just touching you and lifting you up and pulling you through and bringing people around you to help you in those circumstances. Isn't it good to be in part of the family of God? I'm so grateful of being part of the family of God, because many times you folks have helped me out and encouraged me and brought me through some of the stirred waters of my life, and thank God for the body of Christ that we can help each other. See, after Jesus Christ was born, Old Testament prophecy was confirmed. Everything in the Old Testament was confirmed. You see, all the Old Testament prophets and all the ancients and all those people back in those days before Jesus, they struggled with prophecy. And I think a lot of people struggle with prophecy today. I mean, when you get to prophecy of those things that have not yet happened, and you can read books on all the interpretations and all the stuff that goes on around us, and there's many Bible books written on the Bible prophecy and many camps in the way they look at it. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, all these tribs, and you can take whatever trib you want to go. But some say it's literal, some say it's figurative. Some say you have to take Bible prophecy with a grain of salt. I'd rather keep the pepper in there too and just keep the whole works going for my life. They say you can't really believe in a lot of the stuff that's written in our Bibles as it is because it's all futuristic or prophetic. I hate when I hear stuff like that. In fact, you know, many times in our Bibles, people would write off all this stuff, and they're supposed learned theologians, and perhaps we could even label them today as false teachers. False prophets, false leaders. I think that even many in the days when Jesus walked this earth as a man, people put their idea in something else, and they saw Jesus, but they failed to believe in him as the answer to prophecy. And so they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they were difficult in trying to get to this place, but I want to let you know that in Jesus, all the Old Testament prophecy was confirmed. Everything was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophecy tells us Jesus would be born. A son will be born, a child will be given, you shall call his name Emmanuel. This is all supernatural stuff, but it was all prophetic as well. After all, in Jesus, the book that we now read becomes real. Okay? In Jesus, the book that you and I read, everything becomes real because Jesus came. Isn't that great? And Jesus' old times became present times. Old Testament prophecy became present-day reality. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the things that they dreamt of becoming real became real in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the law, all the prophets ceased their journaling because now they could look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, there he is, lying right in the cradle, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, born into this world. Every Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled in that Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that they did their job? They spoke the message of a coming Messiah back in those days, the Old Testament prophets. They delivered news of a day of hope in the future. There's a day coming when you'll have that hope. Aren't you glad today that in churches today we can still say that there's a day of hope coming? Aren't you glad that there's going to be a day when Jesus is going to break through? I mean, it would have been nice on the highway yesterday to have the rapture. You know, even before I left yesterday, that would have been a great day for the rapture. I always figured the greatest days for Jesus to come, but he doesn't seem to come on the days that I think he should come. But he will come one of these days. I mean, that's what we have, the blessed hope lodged in our heart, read in the Word of God, fulfilled in Jesus. Everything is fulfilled right there by Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? After all, the Old Testament prophets, they proclaimed the possibility of a king to be born. They gave messages of instruction and the predictions and the prophecies of what would happen in the future. And the Old Testament became that great entryway or that gate that was now closed for eternity to the past, but open for all of eternity into the future. Praise God. And he shall reign forever and ever. You know, I think it was getting really cold yesterday. I had the Christmas music on yesterday, playing some of the Christmas music, just trying to keep my white knuckles going. Somehow, you know, you dance to the music and you're going along. And we got to that song, the Hallelujah Chorus. And it got stuck in there on the Hallelujah Chorus. It was really amusing. We're going along. I guess it was cold in there, too, with the CD playing. And he shouted, I thought, man, he's really going to rain. Hallelujah. You've ever heard the CDs when they stick on something like that? And Betty and I, you know, in the midst of all of our storm traveling on the highway, got a little bit of a kick out of the music as we're going along. But he shall reign forever and ever. It's all because Jesus came. See, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, all the Old Testament prophecy was now confirmed. Hallelujah. But also, superstition hit new heights. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, what is that all about? Superstition hit new heights. Well, the thing that we call superstition began to see these new heights. You ask, what do I mean by the superstition? I'm glad you asked that question. Well, it's all there. Consider for a moment these Eastern magi, or these wise men, or Dennis the Menace would call them wise guys. Now, if you were to take the wise men, the magi, and look into the Greek, they were like an Oriental scientist, a magician, a sorcerer, or just a brilliant man. Any of those things. So what do you think magi is short for? Magician. Somebody trying to find things in some other way besides the Lord Jesus Christ. Could God use in our Bible somebody who is not a leader of a church or even a Christian? Could God use any circumstance around us to get us to a place where he needs to bring us? You know, people often think that, but I believe that God can use anything. If he can get a mule talking, a donkey talking, he can do anything that he wants to do to bring to pass his purposes. And God did, and he brought them all in order for a miraculous birth to be born, because these were embedded in the stuff heard about. These wise men heard about all this stuff. The prophets, they talked about a baby being born. They wanted to know what the future is. I mean, anybody in the supernatural stuff, they're always into the occultic. They want to know. I mean, if you've ever seen those places at any fairs or any place where they read palms, the people line up because they want to know their future. And they think by looking at your palm, we're going to be able to tell what you're going to be doing on a highway going from Toronto to Cornwall. Isn't that crazy? Wow, why didn't you tell me, God? I mean, we won't find anything on our palm what is going to happen in our life. Reading all this stuff, that tea leaves. I mean, drink some tea and there's tea at the bottom. And somebody's going to tell you what's going to happen next week with your tea leaves. How do people fall for this stuff? I don't get it, you know. But all the occultic, and they found as they searched all these occultic books and purposes and all those things, they found that perhaps there could be a grain of truth in this. Whether they turn from the occult to believe in what the scriptures say, we are not told in the scriptures, but they sure came and they worshiped and they fell down to this baby and they kept their whereabouts from Herod. See, up to this moment, these magi had lived in a dream world. They lived in superstitions. They lived in the occultic. They lived in reading the stars. They read perhaps all those things, plotting stars. But here a star seemed to plot a new course for them. And superstition is only miserable when it ends in itself. Did you hear what I said? Superstition is only miserable when it ends in itself, and it always will end in itself. You know, you can look into your daily horoscope if you so desire. If you find that that's going to do something great in your day, boost your morale or whatever, you know, you go ahead, but I will never, ever turn to that stuff in my life. This is where my dependence is in the Word of God. The Word of God is my strength. And some guy sitting in some place writing down all kinds of things. Well, that sounds good for that person who's a Virgo or whatever, you know, they're going through. Oh, that sounds pretty good for January 1st. Yeah, you're going to run into money. Eh? I always like, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, all the stuff that's out there, you can get into if you want. But I in no way support anything that is occultic. And this sure shows us that some who may be involved in the occult could find Jesus. And that's a good thing. somebody who's involved in practices that are not godly and not good, they can find Jesus. That gives me hope that some of those people that set up the tents in the summer and they read palms, that there's a hope for them. Amen? They're not written off. While they still breathe, there's hope for them to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe one of these days, Jesus will take a leaf and throw it in their face or something like that. I don't know what's going to happen with their lives, but I hope they find the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I believe that many are hungry for the supernatural out there. They're searching in all the wrong places, but the occult offers nothing, but Jesus offers everything. The occult offers nothing, but Jesus offers everything. Can you say amen? See, false religions only become stubborn and stale. They never amount to anything. But these magi found something that day when their eyes looked on the Lord Jesus Christ, because after Jesus was born, they saw the baby. They didn't see a pregnant woman, because after Jesus was born, they saw the baby. Cruel leaders shook in helplessness. I like it when leaders shake. I wish our prime minister would shake a little bit. You know, as you go through this portion of scripture, if you wonder if there's any panic in the country around this time, then look again and see the panic-stricken Herod. And I'm sure his panic was like a disease that traveled all around, because it says all of Jerusalem was there as well. And not only in his palace, but all his workers and everything else. I mean, if the king is in fear, everybody's in fear. If the king is shaking, everybody's shaking. There's something going on in the palace, because this guy doesn't know what's happening. It says all of Jerusalem with him. And Herod showed us that was fear of the unknown. He had fear of what's going to happen in my kingdom. Somebody's going to do something in my kingdom. And his actions show us that he thought he could get rid of this threat to him and his kingship to the nations. When you read this, you know, as I was reading through this, it really sounds kind of crazy and idiotic about this king. Imagine a king trying to find a baby to kill him with the thoughts that this baby may be a king one day. Is that fear of the unknown or what? If this baby is so threatening to Herod, why go and do in a baby? Wait till he becomes king and then just fight him. You know, I started thinking, you know, it's like Justin Trudeau. If somebody walked up and said, Justin Trudeau, there's a baby born somewhere in Canada that's going to take over your place in Parliament. They're going to be the Prime Minister of Canada, and you're no longer going to be the Prime Minister. You will not run as long as your father did. Wow, I didn't expect to get an amen there. Praise God. But can you imagine? I mean, take Donald Trump, and somebody says to Donald Trump, you know, President, somewhere in the United States there's a baby being born, and he's going to take over. He's going to wipe you right out of the presidential seat. You'll no longer be there. I mean, when you look at this, it all sounds idiotic. Maybe Herod had heard about the reports of many traveling to an area of this kingdom to see a baby that seems different from most, and then having these wise men from the east come and asking for directions to get to this baby. Maybe people have been knocking on the door all along and said, do you know where Jesus is? Do you know where the baby's being born? And he's getting sick and tired of this. Maybe he's heard about it many times before. But imagine the prophecy of a child to be born to take over the world. For sure, this is a threat to all who are in the world, who are leaders. And did you know that the Bible says that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess? That's not just the common people like you and I, but that's kings and queens and leaders and princes and princesses and magistrates and presidents and prime ministers, and they're all going to bow to Jesus Christ one day. Hallelujah. Who knows, tomorrow the lion might lie down with the lamb. Praise God. Who knows what tomorrow might bring? The sun might stop shining or the moon turn to blood red. Who knows what's going to happen in 2018? Amen? But after the birth of Jesus, this child is the spark, the light that John said, which would take away all the darkness forever. He is the light of the world after Jesus was born. Can you imagine people's lives at his coming? I mean, when Jesus comes, hallelujah. It's another thing about this portion of Scripture. A new value became mankind's hope. A new value became the right of every person in all the world. In every sense of the Word of God, as God said in the Word, we are made in His image. We are made in the image of God and His likeness we've been made. So in the beginning was the Word, says John in John chapter 1. So this very fact that Jesus Christ created mankind in His own image and likeness, by the very fact that He considered and regarded them as worth saving, He lifted them up into His heart and His life, and every soul has been thought about on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that everybody is important to Jesus. Amen? We are important to God. We are loved by God. He loves each and every one of us. Never forget that Jesus Christ created mankind and that He alone redeems mankind. He alone redeems mankind. Hallelujah. In other words, by Jesus redeeming mankind, He keeps them in His image. You know, I was reading in Galatians the other day and getting right back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Magna Carta of the book of Galatians, and I loved it. I went back and read over there because it's a beautiful verse. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Thank God for the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, through Christ, you and I have freedom. Through Christ, slaves become kings. Through Christ, bond servants become royalty. Through Christ, laborers become liberators. Those who are considered outcasts of society are counted as family of the Most High God, grafted into the household of faith. Praise God. And it all happened after Jesus was born. But there's something else. One last thing. Redemption for all has now been made available. Hallelujah. Worldwide salvation has now been made available to every generation, every person, every country, every part of this globe. All of this world has now been made available to the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. After Jesus was born, it was all completed. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, salvation became attainable. We could grab on to salvation now to all of mankind. And Jesus never asked the world to permit Him to come and to redeem it. It's like the sun never asked the Lord to make it to shine, nor did He ever ask the world to get made by the way it is. But the Bible shows us that all of mankind is redeemed, saved, set free, only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way into salvation, and it's not by some way or idea that we think mankind should be saved, but it's only because Jesus came, and after Jesus was born, it became available to all this world. Thank God. We live in a world today because of this small child born in Bethlehem has been made available to us all. Praise His holy name. From that little town of Bethlehem, a lot hinges. You know, it's amazing how everything has been dated from Bethlehem when Jesus was born. Some people say they don't believe in Jesus. I always say, when did you write your last check? If you wrote a check and you put a date on it, you believe in Jesus because you just put the date when He was born. When you were born into this world, they ask you what year you were born. And the reason why they ask you what year you were born is because they calculated up from when Jesus was born to when you were born, and that's the date that you put on your date of your birth. So Jesus is real in this world. Even though people don't want to acknowledge Him, He is of this world. Everything is dated from Bethlehem. Praise God. Would the worship team come, please? See, we go to Bethlehem for our law and our songs. I noticed that many of the songs this morning talked about Bethlehem. Thank you, John. That was good. Bethlehem is very important because it becomes for us the very city of God, very city of the birth of Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of our Savior. Do you know Jesus today? Do you know Him? Shake your head and do something. Thank you, Jesus. If you know Jesus, isn't it worth it living for Him? Hallelujah. It's all because of Bethlehem. Prophecy after prophecy that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Thank God. Father, thank You for the blessings that we find. After Jesus was born, the world changed. After the world saw Jesus, it can change. It can know Jesus. Every person can know Jesus Christ. And Lord, as all the songs go forward at this time of the year, and I know they're slowly dwindling, and perhaps even some churches this morning are singing their last Christmas song, their last Christmas hymn. But yet it doesn't mean that it stops. It doesn't mean that Bethlehem and the flow of Jesus stops. Thank You, Lord, that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the tap was turned on. Everything became reality through Jesus. So we thank you, Lord. As we sing this last song, perhaps of our Christmas season, Lord, let it be a meaningful one to somebody here, Lord, because it just talks about that little town of Bethlehem. Just talks about the minuteness, the smallness of that small town Bethlehem, but yet talks about the giantness of the one who was born there, the Savior who was born for each and every one of us. His name is Jesus. So, Lord, as we sing this song this morning in conclusion, let our minds go back to Bethlehem. Let our hearts go back to that place and realize that if we were there, we would have loved to go to Bethlehem and seen that baby Jesus. So God, thank you, thank you, thank you this morning. We praise you. We treasure all these things in our heart, just like Mary did. We marvel at the things you've done in our life, the way you've saved us and set us free. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand with me as we conclude today with this song? Christmas season, Lord. It's been beautiful. It's been wonderful. Perhaps some have gone through some struggles, but God, we thank you, Lord, that every time we go through something, it's with you. You never leave us. You never cast us aside. You're always with us. And so, God, thank you for this day. God, as we go through this last day of 2017, help us to keep focused. Stay focused on what you did back in Bethlehem. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us, our homes, our families. Again, I want to say to you, Lord, that I am so grateful that you saved my brother Les. Mm-hmm. It's been a good year.
Yes.
It's been a good year.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm sure that many here can say the same thing, Lord God. And so we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. As we go from this place today, Lord, just shine through us, Lord, and let somebody find Jesus because of our life in you. And we bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. Happy New Year. Amen.